start with say a prayer real quick, and then we'll get straight into it. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much, Father, for these group of people, God. These are my family, Father. It's so incredible to be part of your church. God, it's so incredible to be up here to speak. Lord, I'm super grateful, God. It's really a gift of grace, God, because of all the mistakes I've made. I don't deserve to be up here. God, I'm so grateful to still speak and you want to use me. I pray that our hearts are open to grow and to want to build our relationship with you. I pray that you can speak through me, God, and you can speak through everyone that's going to be sharing tonight. Father, be with also the baptism that we're going to see tonight. Lord, we love you and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. So let's open up to Mark chapter 1.
Like, how often do you hear that in the middle of a prayer?
And so the title of this lesson today is going to be Deeper Growth. Deeper Growth. All right, so we're still going through our theme for the summer of deeper. And there's nothing more exciting to look back time and time again in your past and notice how much you've grown. There's nothing more greater. There's nothing more bigger to celebrate growth in so many ways. And I want us, but in order for us to grow, we need to have expectation. We need to expect growth. And so that's going to be my one and only point tonight, is expect to grow.
Nice.
Expect to grow. So you guys on Mark chapter 1?
No.
Okay. Mark chapter 1. The beginning, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's it. Okay, now one verse. So Mark begins his book with an introduction of a man who changed the history of the world.
Yeah.
And that is Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of people who are big influences in our world today, right? And so I want to kind of open it up real quick, just for a few hands. Who is someone that you are inspired by? It could be a singer, it could be an actor, someone of prominence. Who is someone that you...
Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
Nice.
Amen. Anybody else? Huh? Steve Jobs. Okay, yeah.
Miss Carla.
Who?
Miss Carla.
Miss Carla, our campus shepherd.
That's awesome, too.
Huh?
Yeah.
I can't hear Mark. Mark Persing? Oh my gosh.
That's not Mark.
That's what I'm
talking
about. Yeah. You can just absorb it.
All right, now think about this. Think about this. Just imagine, right? Maybe not all of us raise our hands, but there's somebody in our life that we are inspired by. Just imagine yourself emerging into a new life as the only son or daughter of that person. Imagine yourself being the son or daughter or the person by the person you're inspired by. Right? Think about that for a second.
Rob Christ.
What would you expect to accomplish in your life if you were the son or daughter of that person? What would you expect to accomplish in your life? See, the thing is, people of loyalty, people of royalty, position, great wealth, are expected to live lives of impact and lives of influence. And it's often, that's often the expectation of a lot of people who look up to them, right? You expect when they have kids, or when Michael Jackson has a kid, or people that we inspire, we expect their son or daughter to live a life that's extraordinary. You guys are with me?
Yeah.
And Jesus, he came into the world very humble, under very humble circumstances, okay? He didn't have this amazing rich family. He came from this town called Nazareth, which in the Bible, there was one of the disciples who said, "What good comes from Nazareth?"
Yeah.
Right? And so Jesus didn't come with all that. But what's amazing about this is that his heritage was of the most noble kind. He knew, and he knew he was the only son of God. And because he was the son of God, he expected a lot out of himself. Jesus expected a lot out of his life because he was the son of God. I truly believe that Jesus never accepted that he was going to be born, simply be a good carpenter, be a good guy to his neighbor, grow old, and die under some comfortable hospital sheets. I think a thought like that to Jesus would have made him laugh. To live a life that would just be ordinary, basic, and just lukewarm. But Jesus knew when he was born to save the world. When he was born, he expected his life to have an impact. See, the expectations we have for our lives will dramatically affect how we live them. They will dictate how we try to live, how hard we work, and whether or not we will succeed. And this very man, Jesus, the Son of God, had high expectations for his life because we as disciples are following him and are called to follow him, and so therefore we should also have high expectations for our lives.
All right.
And how we grow and be more like Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Jesus called Simon and Andrew to follow him, and the disciples left everything to follow Jesus. And with this term discipleism, you can remember when you first heard of this term, it means to be a learner, to be a student, to be someone who's constantly learning how to be like Jesus. You're trying to figure out, you know, what he did, how he did it, why he did what he did. You're always trying to learn from Jesus. And that's what a disciple is. And then once we learn that, we go out and we help other people and we teach them to grow and to be like Jesus. Amen? And as an eager learner, we should be striving to grow spiritually. We should be asking ourselves, how can I learn more about the Word of God better? Make more spiritual decisions and try to discern what is best in every situation. Learn about growing in the fruits of the Spirit. How can I be more productive and effective for the ministry? Now, in Acts 14, verse 1, Paul and Barnabas had a pretty good reputation here. It says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Right? So we should always be thinking of, how can I speak more effectively? How can my words make an impact? How can I grow in the way I speak to people? That when they hear my words, their lives are changed. And how can I share my faith better? How can I correct someone? How can I instruct someone? Always learning to grow and be better for God. I love this passage here in 2 Peter chapter 1. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. So this passage is saying that if you do this, you will not be ineffective or unproductive. Shouldn't that be a passage we should probably be gluing our eyes to? Because there's times where I'm just like, when I feel like things aren't happening, when things are, I don't feel productive, or I don't feel like things are happening, I gotta ask myself, am I adding to my faith? You know, am I adding to my faith the things that I really want to see happen?
Mm.
And this scripture clearly says, if you're ineffective or unproductive, it's because we're not adding to our faith.
Good stuff.
You know, we can't say we want to be used by God, but yet not eager to grow. I mean, those two things can't work together. So you got to really ask yourself, if you're sitting here tonight, are you eager to grow? You know, do you have high expectations for your life because you're a disciple of Jesus?
Come on, Charles.
Do you have those high expectations? Okay, but in order to grow, we know that if you want to grow, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict if we want to grow. Right? And so I remember just having, kind of early on in my discipleship, it was me and Matt, you know, we were together at William Patterson University. And, you know, I was leading a Bible study for the first time on discipleship and what it means to be a Christian. And literally, I walked in there so confident. I mean, fired up. Like, yo, this is my first time I'm leading this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to go on faith and I'm going to go after this. All right? So me and Matt, we got together. And so we sat down in the study. And literally, as we're going through each scripture, I'm reading the scripture out. And then I'm looking at the guy we're studying with. And I'm like, yeah, so what does that scripture say? And then he would just read the scripture again. And I would be like, so you understand it, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, do you have anything else to share? And then Matt's like, because we're both like young person, we don't know what we're doing, you know? And so he's like, ah, dude, that's great. And so we go to the next scripture, and then I read that again. That's good? You understand? You got anything? Nah, bro, we're good. Next scripture. So it was like, we're just what I ended up realizing was that I was afraid to make mistakes. I was afraid to embarrass myself if I didn't know how to explain the scripture. I was afraid of really getting my weaknesses out in the open. You guys are with me?
Yeah.
And what happens is, as you're trying to grow, Satan is also trying to sniff you out. He's trying to stop you from growing. And here's some things that I want us to identify that are going to threaten your growth. One of them is a desire to look good. You know, calling the person who disciples you when you got good news, but not calling them when things aren't going very well. That could be an example. Always sharing the good news, but not really trying to, always trying to put your best foot forward. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Another one is, like I did, I hate to make mistakes. Hating to make mistakes, don't want to feel embarrassed. I mean, that's huge. I mean, just go to your class on campus and go in your class and the teacher's like, hey, do anyone want to answer this question? How many hands are going to go up? Barely any. Take a look at that this semester, all right? There's people that are just afraid to make a fool of themselves if they get the wrong answer. But guess what? If you don't want to make mistakes, you can't grow. There's no way. It won't happen. Another one is afraid to ask questions about things that you think you are expected to know already for the fear that it will expose your weaknesses. Right? So you're afraid to ask questions about things that you should probably know already. Right? But that's something that you can shrink back from. Hard to be vulnerable about your life. Vulnerable about sin stops you from growing. Being a conflict avoider stops you from growing. You'd rather stuff things under the rug than actually get resolved and get a solution. Which actually makes us even more stressed when we actually brush it under the rug, right? And we think it actually helps. That's what Satan does. And the last but not least, people pleasing. People pleasing is also an area that stops you from growing. You ever had someone explain something to you and you're just like, mm-hmm? Damn. Like, dude, I totally know what you're saying. Awesome. So do you have any questions about that? No? You just walk away more confused than you were before you can ask. It's the realest thing ever, man. That happened to me so many times. But that's a people-pleasing nature. You know, we just wanted to say yes, yes, yes. Yeah. We don't really want to dig in and ask the appropriate questions of things we don't understand. Yeah. That stops us from growth. Luke 18, verse 14 says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. And this is the verse I really want to focus on here. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When can God really exalt you? When you decide to be humble. And when you decide to have this attitude of, you know, I don't know anything. Actually, Bruce Lee actually has a quote, and it goes, in order to master everything, you have to live every day as if you know nothing. Yeah. And we all know Bruce Lee is one of the best fighters in all the world. And so, in order to really grow, we have to be humble. We have to live our days as if we know nothing. We have to always be willing to get input, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But we're going to get to some practicals because I only have 10 minutes, amen. There's so much to talk about here. But here's some practicals that are going to help us to grow and to help us to expect growth in our lives. Number one, most important thing. Specifically, every day, pray to learn. Prayer has to be part of learning. Psalm 5, verse 3, David has an amazing heart. And he prays this to God. He says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Yeah. So David had this awareness of like, look, Lord, I'm going to pray like God. Teach me. Show me something today. And as I go out for my day, I'm going to be looking for the opportunities to learn. I'm going, because I prayed that prayer. And I know that God, you're going to reveal something to me. So having that intentional expectation of God showing you something so that you can learn. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Cool. Practical number two. Ask a lot of questions. Always be asking questions and getting advice. So important. I can't stress that enough. I mean, I could be reading Proverbs for 30 minutes that talks about getting advice and getting guidance. Because to be honest, we don't know what we're doing all the time. I make too many mistakes. And usually it's just one question that you will ask that will literally change your life when you get the answer to it. I wanted to share a story, but I don't have time. That story is pretty embarrassing too. So if you want to know, just talk to me afterwards.
All right.
So always be asking questions. Luke 2, verse 46 to 47. This is Jesus as he was growing up as maybe a preteen, young teen, right? Luke 2, verse 46 to 47. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, him as in Jesus, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. This is Jesus. As a little teen, maybe they had a little teen camp going on there. But Jesus is asking questions. He's sitting, I mean, this is the Son of God. If the Son of God is asking questions, how much more do I need to be asking questions? I mean, Jesus is out there learning, and then right after that, this is the result. It says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Like, whoa, this little teenage Jesus, preteen Jesus, young teen, whatever he was, literally amazed teachers of the law with his understanding. Like, what? That is mind-blowing. And what does that mean? We are followers of Jesus.
Right.
So when you get advice, people are going to be amazed at your understanding.
Come on.
Amazed at your wisdom. Not because how awesome we are, because how awesome God is.
Yeah.
Because he gives us that advice, that wisdom that we need. So ask a lot of questions.
Come on, Charles.
Two more practicals here. Be a good listener.
Come on.
This is so important. Because usually when people are talking to me, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner later. I'm thinking about, you know, what's going on tomorrow. I'm going to have to talk to this brother, this sister. I have a hard time listening.
Yeah.
I remember Rob one time, he actually drew, I had such a bad time with this, he actually drew a person on a piece of paper. I mean, I felt so like, my pride was crushed that day. But I needed it. And so he drew a picture of a person with an ear. And he's actually drawing of how it looks like to actually listen to a person first before you actually talk. And he gives this whole diagram about two people having a conversation, draws it out, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. So but the problem was I wasn't a good listener. I always wanted to say something before listening. I never wanted to process what people had to say. And then James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Guys, we really got to take in what people are saying to us. Because guess what? They have the Holy Spirit and God is using them. And so when we're not listening, we're denying something that God's trying to tell us. Because they have the Spirit of God. And God is trying to use them. And then Romans 12:3 says, this scripture convicts me. It says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but with sober judgment. I think a lot of times, we just don't have a really clear idea of who we are. We don't really see ourselves clearly. And it's important for us to have a sober mind. So let's always be thinking about listening and having a sober mind as well. And last but not least, Hebrews 13:7, you can write this down real quick. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of way of life, and imitate their faith. Guys, we got so many heroes in the faith.
Yeah.
We got so many people that are in areas in life that we want to go to. And we can have people that we can speak to, grab time with, and really learn from them so that we can grow. All right, guys, so that's our last practical. So guys, everything that we need to grow is right in front of us. We have it, it's at our disposal. And we can have high expectations to grow in amazing ways. Just imagine months, years from now, you can look back and see all the incredible changes God has done with your life because you decided to grow and do amazing things for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's the end of my lesson. And at this time, we're going to be hearing from five people from the CTP program. And they're going to share a little bit about what they got and what they learned in the program. Amen?
Yeah. Maybe you guys could just come line up so you're all up here already.
Amazing privilege to be a part of the CTP program. Okay. It's just an incredible experience. Like, my head is overflowing with superlative spiritual energy, and I'm just like, the first thing I have to see is, oh my gosh, it's so fantastic. But one lesson that always will always stand out to me was one lesson that TJ did one Friday.
Come on, TJ.
It was just like, he was trying to teach us about kind of what it meant to be a really spiritual person. And he used Moses' example to define that for us. And he said a bunch of great things like, you should be humble enough to not look good when you're not actually good. And that you don't just make decisions that you talk over with God. But one thing that will forever stand out to me is when he read Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 15. You guys don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you guys. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us." And what TJ pulled out from this was that Moses just wanted to be surrounded by God, which is crazy for me to hear because it's not every day that I'm just like, oh, I want to go surround myself with God. You know what I mean? It's just not something that I really think about. In fact, it's much easier for me to be like, for me to surround myself with God when it suits me better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to be there for the reward, but not for the relationship. And that's not what we're called to be as Christians, as disciples. And I was much better at this during my first year as a disciple, which is ridiculous. I was a senior in high school, and you know, high school is garbage. High school sucks. So I was like walking home from high school, just like talking to God, like, oh my God, please take these people away from me, please. Oh my stars, I was really losing my mind. For real, I really just lost my way. And that's something that I've really been trying to grow in throughout the summer. So one thing that I've really tried to start doing was that I would put on alarms on my phone, right? So that every sporadically throughout the day, I would have like one or two prayers and whatever, and just to put God into my day. And I'm not even like that busy, so I'm like, I don't know why I have to do this. Why can't I just pray? Ask anybody. How's my day today? Goodness gracious, I'm a mess, for real. But anyway, that's something that I've tried to grow in the summer. I think someone else is going to speak to
that. You're great, Evian.
Showed himself to be extremely faithful and totally answered all my prayers. And God has placed me in 6 studies over the summer.
Ooh.
And I was able to lead the Seeking God study, the Word study, and the Jesus one, which
Come
is my favorite
girl.
One. And I really felt like God was just using me this summer. And for once, like in like the first time like in forever, I felt like God was really like using me, and I had a purpose in life, you know? And during like the CTP and ministry training program, I was like, you know, we're reading the Old Testament, and I was really able to get a knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament myself, which was like really cool. And I think I really felt like closer to God this summer, just knowing like who he truly is, especially because I've been reading the Old Testament. And as I continued reading the Old Testament, I realized like, I really got a deeper understanding of who God was, of like how powerful he is, how strong he is. I got to see like how he just strived for a relationship with the Israelites and his people. And I loved how like through it all, like God never like forgot about his people. Right. He was always there for them. And like relating this to my relationship with God, I had like the assurance of knowing that God will like always be there for me when I mess up. Or even if I turn my back on God, like he will always be here for me and love me and accept me with open arms. And just really understanding the magnitude of his power and how reliable he is and how strong he is, it allowed me to not only just trust him more, but make me feel comfortable like getting out of my comfort zone and stuff. And so for the first time, like I would share my faith like fearlessly, like without shame in my heart, without like real shyness. And I was just so excited to just share the good news of Jesus and like how amazing God is. And I think on campus, like as I go back to Montclair State, I really just like want to, you know, share my faith boldly and just understanding that like God is just always there for me, and knowing that every time I go share my faith, he's just holding my hand as I go. So,
yes, guys.
If you don't know who I am, my name is David. Being a part of the campus training program was an awesome opportunity that gave so much knowledge and so many different facets of being Christian. One of the things that I really took a lot from was Rob's message on moving to study, which essentially means moving people closer to God through the Bible studies by allowing the scriptures to change their heart and actions. When I studied the Bible with people, I had a mentality of just getting them through the studies, going through each scripture in the order that they were presented, and asking them the questions that came along with it. However, when I study the Bible with people, I need to remember that I'm trying to break them free from the darkness and bring them into the light. So my question for the Christians here is, when you study the Bible with people, do you have a similar mentality, or even are you drifting into the complacency of going through the motions as you study the Bible without taking note of what exactly you're trying to do through them?
Come on.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need
to be ashamed.
And who correctly handles the word of truth." Our mindset needs to be we're trying to save people and make them grow in their relationship with God and not just run them through the studies. Another important thing to build as someone who correctly handles the word of truth is to have a great scripture bank.
Yep.
The best way to answer questions when it comes to understanding God is to have scriptures always ready at your disposal.
Yep.
And then the Bible will provide that.
Yep.
It won't really be enough to memorize the scriptures from the studies. To correctly handle the word of truth, we need to be equipped with everything lead them to growth in their relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Having a solid scripture bank will help you answer anyone who questions your faith, as it's commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." The last thing I wanted to talk about that can help us grow in being better Bible study leaders is to just go and do it. In a lot of ways, experience is the best teacher. The more you study the Bible with different people, you'll learn how to answer each person according to what they need to hear and what scriptures they need to read. Additionally, we can grow outside of the Bible studies by meditating on the scriptures and seeking advice, you know, as Charles was saying. I realized that if I want to make the most out of the studies, I need to see what I can do better or what I can change from my previous studies.
Mm-hmm.
Getting advice from those who are more experienced that sit in with your studies can be very beneficial in correcting and improving what you've been doing.
That's right.
So that we don't make the same mistake in a future study, or maybe we can bring in a better question that will help prove a point. when it comes to being able to move a study, having the right mindset of helping others grow in their relationship with God and bring them to the light, being able to correctly handle the word of truth through building their knowledge of Scripture, and studying and meditating on the Scriptures and seeking advice will all help you move the studies forward and make others more equipped to get out of the darkness and bring them into the light. Through all of this, it is extremely important to constantly pray to God and have faith that He is working through it all, no matter where whoever you're studying the Bible with is at. And it's important to remember that while we plant and water, God is the one who ultimately makes it grow. So, that's all.
Shana.
Someone said, my name is Shana, and I was asked to share like how the summer was, and I learned all the stuff. So one scripture that I want to share with you guys is in Philippians 2:13. Shana shared with me like a bajillion times, and I love it. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him." And I like that scripture, and that scripture helped me throughout the summer because it reminded me that God has given me the desire to do what pleases Him, right? And so I began the summer studying out falling deeper in love with Jesus. Because I felt like I was in love with Jesus, but I wanted to be deeper in love with Him. And like, I didn't want that to fade away or go away at any time. So I love that we're studying out deeper. And helping me to grow in my relationship with God and also in my relationship with people. So I was on Bergen campus this summer, and so I was sharing faith with Brielle, and one thing that stuck out to me was how like people are so lost, and they're just desperately seeking after Jesus without them even knowing, and they're just so hurting. And I was sharing faith with this girl, and I told her about Bible talk, and she's like, "I don't want to go to anything, and I don't want to hear about God, and I don't want to hear about Jesus." So we kind of like cried and asked her some questions, and it turns out that she was hurt by like her previous church, and that like people were telling her like all kinds of stuff, but she wouldn't like. At the end, I realized that she wouldn't even read the Bible for herself, which was so sad that people are hearing fake news about Jesus, and I need to be that example that shows them who Jesus really is.
Come on, Shana.
That was powerful for me. At CTP, I learned so much stuff as people were coming here talking about it. We learned so much, and a few things that stuck out to me and I keep remembering is that I need to be eager to learn and to grow. And I brought that with me, and I was like, I need to be in Bible study this summer. I need to be eager to learn and growing. And I was able to lead the cross study and lead the repentance study this week with this girl, and get a lot of advice and help from my friend Shana. Shana's weird. And just being able to get feedback so the next time I'm able to do better in the study, so I could help other women to see Jesus, which is so awesome. And learning that I need to be the attitude when I walk into a room. I need to set the room on fire when I walk in. If no one's talking, I need to be the one talking. If no one's reading, I need to be the one reading. And making people feel comfortable and being outwardly focused. If someone's not here, I need to be able to see that they're not here. And learning what the true purpose of fellowship really is, and that is like praying, reaching out, and bringing people, and even considering those who are in this room, because we all are family, you know, and being able to see that and love upon each other. And one of my favorite class happened at the end, and it was talking about being reliable and being diligent, and that I need to be someone that others trust completely with a task, and they don't think like if they give me a task to do that I'm not going to do it, and I'm not reliable, and not being quick to make excuses like I felt like doing when I was asked to come up here and talk. But seeing that these people trust me and God trusts me enough to put me in front of all you guys, share with you what I learned over the summer. And in conclusion, something that I want to take back with me on campus is that the heart for my sharing my faith is not just a routine, it's not something just disciples do, just I do, but I want to share my faith because I remember someone sharing at church that how much do I hate someone that I'm going to let them go by me without sharing my faith with them. And this fall semester, I want to take that on campus with me, and I want you guys to take that on campus, y'all.
Y'all good? Y'all good?
Thank you.
It was very good. It taught us a lot. And so there's a question that I want to teach you guys. As the disciples, are we eager to learn? Like, like the question is, as followers of Jesus, we must have the heart and humility and want to be eagerly to grow.
You're doing great.
We must have the heart and humility to eagerly grow. So do you. I ask you that. I know I struggled with that earlier on. And so for us to be eager learners, we have to have the heart that wants to grow and that wants to learn. And that starts with our humility. Yeah. We want to do the best for God, and we want to ask ourselves, how do we glorify God? But are we willing to make sacrifices? Are we involved daily? Do we deny ourselves? Mm. Are we making sacrifices, and do we swallow that pill they call pride? Mm. And so also, when it comes to humility, you've got to look at our insecurities. We don't want to be afraid. We don't want to look stupid, make mistakes. We don't want to seem like we're imperfect. That's all just really our pride right there. Mm. Our insecurities hinder us to really glorify God. Like, that's a tremendous issue that we all struggle with, because there are times where we don't want to look stupid, so we won't say anything, or we'll just be quiet in the back of the room, and we're all guilty of it, so you can't deny that. You're all guilty of that. And me too. And so there's a scripture, James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if we sit down and just really humble ourselves, God will use us effectively in many ways that we never knew were possible. Right. Also, we have to watch out for our apathy, which I am so guilty of. Like, honestly, like, it's like our unwillingness to really learn. Like, are we unmotivated? Are we unmoving? Are there, like, spiritual battles that we don't really find ourselves being as engaged in because of our apathy? Mm-hmm. Is there an apathetic vine growing in your heart right now? You have to ask yourself that. I know for me, I could no longer be content with my apathy, because I would just be going to midweek, sitting in the back, be content with not saying anything or not talking with anyone, and I realized, what glory does that do to God? How do I encourage him? How do I build anyone up? I don't.
Come on, Andre.
It took a good moment for me in regards to, like, just fighting and praying, for me to just surrender myself to God, and eventually I was able to open myself up with some of you in here and just grow closer to God. And so now I fast forward, I'm up here speaking to you guys, humbling myself and just showing what I've learned. Yeah. And lastly, if we're pursuing Jesus, we must be willing to take tough lessons and to hear things we don't really want to. Right. Like, our insecurities tell us, nah, we're good, we don't need to hear that. But we really have to ask for advice, ask for help. Like, if I need help, I know I can go to Rob, Matt, or whoever for help. There's a scripture, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We have to ask the hard questions, get into the nitty and gritty. Mm. So the call of discipleship requires us to be eager learners of Jesus, and that mandates a humble heart, which must be unwavering to the sin of pride and the trap of apathy. That is what I learned.
Awesome. Yeah, man.
All right, isn't that awesome? Let's give them another hand. It's so encouraging and refreshing when we see people just change for Jesus. Yeah. It is so incredible, and that's something that we want to always have in our hearts, even as we grow. We need to be more like Christ so that we can make an impact on the world. And so I want to close this out with that, guys, and we're going to actually have Gabe and Eden come up to the front of the stage.
Or the floor.